The Talk About podcast was designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. Recently, we've been focused on issues and topics that are associated with the United States. But we all know that the Black community expands far beyond the borders of the United States. And that's why on the upcoming season on Talk About with Ron, I want to take the podcast international and start talking to different members of the Black community that were not born and raised in the United States. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what are the challenges that you face as a Black person in your country. Now, whether it's good or bad, you know, economic or not, I want to understand your country, the Black community. We need to come together, and we should come together and understand each other. Because my experiences as a Black American or African American is not the same as yours. I've sat down and I've talked to different Black people from around the world and, you know, who live here in the United States from other countries. And the experience is totally different. I want to hear that. I want to share that experience with other Black people. You know, my experiences you've learned from me, and I have international listeners. And I want to invite you to come onto my show and talk to me and tell the world about your country. Represent your country. Represent where you're from. Tell everybody what they should know about your country. I want to open those doors up to everybody because, like I said earlier, the Black community extends far beyond the boundaries of the United States border. I want to talk to all of you. I want to hear your experience. I want to share your experiences, and you can be an ambassador for your country and tell everybody what they should know about your country, you, how you're raised, your culture, your experiences, your view in life, everything. If you would like to come on the podcast and discuss your country and where you're from, there's a link down below. You can go onto my show and register as a guest. You can contact me directly on Facebook. It's the Ron Frazier Sr. You can go to my website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com. And you can have access to send me a message directly, or you can register as a guest, fill out the registration form, and I will contact you. This invitation also goes out to people who live in the United States that are from other countries, that were born and raised in other countries. So don't think that just because you live in the United States that you can't come on and be a part of this experience. I know that there are many people in the United States who were just moved here in the last 5-10 years and who have extensive experience in their country where you come from. So this invite goes to everyone that were not born and raised in the United States. So I invite you all to come be a part of the Talk About with the Ron Black Experience World Tour. Welcome back to Talk About, a podcast designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. And I am your host, Theron Frazier. Before we get started with this week's episode, I would like to share some information with you guys. We now have a website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, where you can go there and support the show by using one of our affiliate links. There are several links there, one for Amazon, one for Fiverr, and one for Instacart. We also have a Patreon page where you can go and donate, and if you have a business, you can actually have a tier where we can promote your business on our Patreon page. Just go to www.talkaboutwiththeron.com and go to become a member. You can also subscribe there and leave your email address, and you will get the latest updates on the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Talk About with Theron. I'm your host, Theron Frazier. And this week, we're going to continue the discussion on traveling abroad. I've been talking with Everett Douglas on, you know, what it's like to travel to different parts of the world, different countries. And, you know, some of those conversations leads back to traveling around the United States as well. and we get into some of those questions, because just like, you know, we want you guys to know what it's like to travel in other countries. I do have international listeners who may want to know what it's like to travel around the States, you know, as well. So we have covered some of those topics on this particular episode, but we're going to get into some of the fun stuff that we had on our trips and, you know, some of the interesting stories that he had in the Dominican Republic, that I had in Mexico, and, you know, other places that we've been, and actually more details about what he did in Japan. Actually, he did go twice. You know, the second time he went with his mother and his friend, and I think they were more engaging and involved on that particular trip. So you will hear that today as well. I know a lot of you guys are asking me, are you going to cover the slap, the Oscar slap? I know that's off topic with this particular episode. I will not be covering that on this episode, but there will be an episode on the slap where I actually talk about what I think happened or my opinion on it. You know, how does it affect black men in society? You know, how people will look at us and all of that. In fact, you know, I was a guest on another podcast and we talked about that particular subject, and we're going to be doing a dual release on that particular topic, and I hope you guys look forward for that as well. But today we're going to go ahead and finish the conversation with Everin. And we're going to be talking about traveling abroad and some of the stories that we share on what it's like to travel abroad and, you know, some stuff that we should expect. So thank you guys for continuing to come to listen to the show. And here is part two of traveling abroad. So that was your experience in Japan. You say you didn't see a lot of black people there. Like most countries, you know, we comparison is that, you know, people are very open to visitors within their coming to their country and trying to help them. You don't see that a lot in America. When I see people or tourists, matter of fact, you may notice you're in America and you go out and you go different places, theme parks or downtown or wherever it may be. When you see tourists, do you interact with any? Do you notice that people interact with the tourists that come? You would never know.
I think sometimes it's so hard because there's like a huge hustle and bustle and everybody's in a hurry to get from point A to point B, at least over here. And I think it's because there's more of a familiarity with the area that you travel around in. Like, I've lived in Atlanta since, I want to say 98, 2000. Excuse me, no. 98 to about 2000, right? Can't remember the exact year I got here, but let's just say 98 for sake of argument. I've been here so long to the point where even when I go to a convenience store, I get in and I get out. As B.B. King said, the thrill is gone. So dealing with the frenzy of being out in the common public that you're used to, sometimes you don't really pay attention to whether or not there's people there that are tourists. And I think usually if somebody's a tourist there, they usually meet up with their family members, right. Especially going through the airport, because the one thing that always gets me is the fact that, like you said earlier, there's the expectation that the person is supposed to speak English because they're in America now, which is not exactly the most helpful thing out there. I've actually been in airports and I've helped people. There was a lady that was Romanian. There was another one. I can't remember where she is from, but I think it was like around the Turkey area. Didn't speak a lick of English, but I helped them get from point A to point B. But that's in the airport. You can definitely see that, and it's more blatantly obvious there because there's facial expressions. Even now with COVID, you can still see facial expressions. Looks of confusion. The body language is thrown off. Like, they're not confident about what they're doing. You know, you can tell at that point, but out in the common areas, no, it's kind of hard to even tell who's a tourist.
And I was just about to say that, because you're right about that. In America, it was such a melting pot of everything. It really is hard to tell the tourists from the regular American people, because like, you went to Japan, you stood out in Japan. You stood out clearly.
Literally.
You probably stood out in any other country you went to, you've been to or I've been to. But in America, we got so many different nationalities of people that's here that you really can't tell who's a tourist and who's not unless they say so. So
right.
I get that. Okay. It makes a lot more sense.
You want to know one of the most jacked up things about being in Japan when it comes to black people?
What's that?
I don't know if they actually lived there or they were tourists or whatever. But you know the usual head nod you might get from you know, if from black man to black man.
Yes.
Didn't get that at all.
Hmm.
It was interesting. The Japanese people were a lot more friendlier than the average black person that I would come across every now and then. It was almost like you were being shunned. I don't know why, but that's how it felt. And now that I think about it, the only other weird interaction that I had with Japanese people, which I understand why it happened, because again, it's majority Japanese people up there. But the younger kids in the Japanese schools, it's mainly younger Japanese kids that go to school. So every young kid, I'd probably say under the age of like five and five or less, every time I came into contact with them, they were staring at me like I was some type of ghost or something, because they had never come in contact with a black person.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, I went to Japan a second time with my friend and my coworker, or my friend and coworker, along with my mom as well. And it threw my mom off because she felt kind of offended by it. But to me, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably be looking the same way if I was a little kid and I'm staring at this giant 6'2" dude and he's a different shade of color than I am. And I've never seen anybody that's that shade of color. So it's to be expected, you know, it's
different cultures.
Right. And nothing to really get a reference for the understanding until you come in contact with it.
And that's one thing about us. We have to visit other places and understand their culture. That's just as important as going there. Don't be offended by some of the things that you hear or see, because it's natural there, or they may not have experienced it before. I mean, I have people here in America who ain't never, there's places in America, cities, where you may run across some little white kids who ain't never seen black people before.
It's true.
You know, and this is here in America. So let me tell you the story. We went to Helen, Georgia. Me and my brother. See, you already know. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to put that on Helen. It wasn't even Helen, Georgia. It was Blue Ridge, Georgia.
Okay.
And we went to a cabin trip. You know, it was about six or seven couples, all black, on a cabin trip to Helen. I mean, Blue Ridge, Georgia. And, you know, I've been on several cabin trips before. So we can go up in the mountains, have fun for the weekend, and, you know, come on back home. We went up there and we went to the cabin, checked in, and we left the cabin, went to the little town in town. You know how they have the little shops, gift shops and all. You've been to cabin, you're familiar. And we was trying to get to the gift shop area. So I went into this restaurant and asked for directions. And when I come out, this guy came running towards us, white guy. And he was like, hey, buddy. He came and started talking to the group. He said, don't get offended when I say this. And you say that to a bunch of black people, what first thing you think you're about to
they're
do?
Gonna, trigger on standby.
Like, oh, Lord, what are you about to say? He said, well, you guys got anything, you know, some pills that I can buy?
No.
No, I don't know if he asked for pills, he asked for weed, or he asked
probably
for
weed.
Some drugs.
Right.
And we were like, no. Y'all came from Atlanta? And we were like, yeah. Y'all ain't got none? Like, hell no. Who you think we are, dude? So we had that little quick conversation here. We ain't got that. No, we can't help you with that, bro. So we go across the street and we're walking down the sidewalk. And it's like the little stores, like a little row with stores on both sides. When I tell you, people were looking at us like we was out of place.
Yep.
That's how uncomfortable it felt. But this is what really killed us, is that we was walking towards this white couple, and they had their dog with them. And they was walking towards us. And dude, when I tell you, I ain't never seen a dog. Look, bro, I ain't saying the dog was racist. But I think this dog ain't never seen no black people in his life. The dog, it was about 10 of us, you know, we were walking towards the couple and they were walking towards us. They were walking their dog. The dog literally got into like a fetal position. Like he like literally, they had to try to drag the dog towards us. Dog didn't want to come towards us. and the dog kind of got on the ground and, like, you know, started whimpering. And so we walked past, and the dog got up and started barking. And we were like, what the hell was that? We literally go around the corner, go across the street, and walk into this candy shop. And my brother's walking ahead of me. And when he opened the door to go into the candy shop, somebody snatched him into the store. And it was another black couple. They hugged my brother and talked to us like, we are so happy to see y'all. I swear to God, we are so happy to see y'all. We ain't seen no other black people in this town. And everybody's looking at us crazy. And we said the same. You know what? We noticed the same thing. And they would stand up in the cabin by themselves. And they were like, they were scared to go back to their cabin. Because the way people treated them there was like they weren't even supposed to be up there. And that's kind of how we felt. And it was weird, but I was like, this is in America, you know, and this is places we've traveled within America. I even experienced something similar to that. We went down to Destin this past summer. It wasn't like quite like Blue Ridge, but it was, you kind of felt out of place, you know, and there's places in America. You do that. You get that type of vibe. That's why I say when I go to other countries, it's so much of a different experience here in America for a black person, for myself, that I felt welcomed. I felt like a human. Like you said, they treat you with humanity. Even, you know, we went to Mexico. Now, you talked about the food in the other places you've been. How was the food in Japan?
Bro. there is, where do you even begin? I just take it from the beginning. Well, first off, you can actually buy some good food at 7-Eleven, believe it or not, for a decent price. You know, the biggest misconception that people have about Japan is, oh God, it's super expensive. You got to spend $3,000 on one plate of sushi. No. If you do it right and do your research, you'll realize that if you're ever in a bind and you just need to get some food, you can go to 7-Eleven. I think the other place is called Family Mart, any corner convenience store, right? They have pre-made food that gets made, I believe, every single day in the morning. Ranges from sandwiches to pastries to cookies, so on and so forth. It's not just like you go into a Quick Trip here, for example, and you buy a bunch of junk and then you leave out. Matter of fact, you can go in there and buy, I got one next to me right now. Well, no, I don't. I have a giant thing of tea. It's probably about maybe a liter, maybe 2 liters. In America, you'll probably end up spending about maybe $3 on it, right? Over in Japan, it's a little bit cheaper. And that thing of tea will last you almost a whole day, if not 2 days, because it's so big.
Okay.
So if you're going to find food in Japan, you got to do it smart. Even if you go to, let's say a ramen shop, you can spend a small amount of money and walk away completely full. Because this happened the second time I went, because that's where I mainly had a wider variety of foods, ranging from Japanese food to it was like a Dutch restaurant near a temple in Japan. We started off with that soup, actually. The soup was so flavorful to the point where I honestly don't know if I could find anything that could come close to comparing to the soup that I had in Japan. And it was the type of broth that it was. It was ramen soup with, I think it was either beef or pork broth. But regardless, it was so rich. It was so flavorful. It spoke to my soul. That's how good it was.
Let me tell my listeners, this ain't the same ramen noodles y'all be buying at Walmart.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it come in that little plastic pack. Add for flavor. Nah. Matter of fact, there's a whole science behind making the soup. You actually have to brew the soup, I think, overnight or, you know, for maybe a couple of days or something. But literally, you're just babying this soup until you get the right flavor. And I think every single soup restaurant has got its own signature flavor. So just because you have one doesn't mean you've had them all. But regardless, this soup place was amazing. And after that, went to a sushi place after visiting a temple. It was, I can't remember the name of the temple, but it was Shinshoji Temple. They had a little offshoot area next to the temple that actually led to like a little marketplace. And this is the second time when I was with my mom and my coworker. We walked all the way down to the marketplace area, and I ended up buying a hat, like a little my very first fedora, which is funny because there's a story behind the hat I'll get to in a minute. But ended up buying a hat, and for the first time ever in my life, that was the most perfect fitting hat ever. I was nobody until I bought that hat. The hat made me. So ended up going to a sushi restaurant, and I'm over here wearing this hat like a pimp, right? Ordered the sushi. Sushi is pretty good. And this is before I started drinking, but my mom wanted some sake. Me, I didn't know anything about sake. So her and my coworker ended up getting it. And I guess this stuff is strong. I don't know. Side note, sake in Japanese is actually alcohol. So if you're asking for sake, you're asking for, like, okay, what kind do you want?
Hot.
Purple, green.
Hot, cold.
Hot, cold. Yeah. But I guess the stuff's so strong because my mom was trying to finish a sentence and it came out all jumbled up and mumbled. So it's the, if you're not careful, it'll sneak up on you. I know that much from experience now. But you'll get a lot of steps in too, now that I think about it, because Japan is a walking country. You can take the train and you can walk from point A to point B. I lost a lot of weight and I got a lot of exercise in when I was out there. But the next restaurant we went to was it was near the Tokyo Station, part of the train system. And I said it was Dutch. I think it was more English because they had more so like for lack of a better description, fork and knife food. Like I think I got steak with gravy and mashed potatoes, and it was a pretty decent steak. It was actually pretty good. My mom, my friend, they ended up getting some other dishes that were pretty good too. Now, the one thing I didn't like out there is called mochi, if I'm remembering right, but it's mochi. It's literally like a doughy ball that looks like it should taste sweet, but it doesn't.
Because does it look like is it white?
It could be white. It could be like green, white, and pink. It could be. It could look like it has a brown glaze on it. But
that's a cartoon my daughter's watching. I think it was a Japanese cartoon.
Monster Rancher.
I don't know, but the lady made that. Then they made a little spinoff cartoon where she made it, and she ended up turning the thing into. It ended up turning into like a little kid that she raised and. It left home and came back, and she ended up eating it at the end. What cartoon was that? I know people don't seen it before.
That was new to me.
It was a Japanese cartoon, and it was funny.
See, the last time I heard of a character named Mochi was in this cartoon I used to watch a long time ago called Monster Rancher, and he was called Mochi because he looked like the thing I'm talking about.
Mm.
But one thing you have to keep in mind anytime you eat different foods and you're expecting something American sweet is the fact that other countries do not sweeten foods the same way we do.
They don't season the food the same way we do. We got Americanized food here, but Chinese, Japanese, European, Brazilian, any food, Mexican food, any food that you eat here, don't expect it to taste like that when you go to these other countries.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm getting at, because we are in a land of processed sugar and, you know, overkill the flavor, sweetened everything, especially in Georgia. You gotta have sweet tea, right?
Yeah.
So my expectation, especially seeing as how this thing had a nice brown honey glaze on it, in my mind, my sweet tooth was saying, this is gonna taste good.
Mm.
But my palate said completely different. It said, if you don't get this mess out of your mouth right now. And I bring this story up because we actually purchased this on the way through the Tokyo Station. And me and my friend, you know, who's my coworker, but me and my friend, we tried it, didn't like it, warned my mom. and I think I got a video of this somewhere on Facebook, but my mom's over here like, y'all just doing it wrong. Y'all need to put more of the glaze on it. Mm. And we warned her 5 times. Mom, don't do it. Don't do it, Mom. Don't do it. She's over there. She's got a butter knife spreading glaze on this thing. And then she ate it. And both me and my friend are looking at her like, uh-huh. Counting down. 3, 2, 1. I've seen my mom make faces before, but I've never seen her make a face like this one. It was like, she...
She probably made it worse by putting more glaze on it.
Yeah. She... She was trying to find a way to evacuate that thing out of her mouth ASAP, okay? She couldn't find a napkin, so she...
Oh, my goodness.
She was suffering. And I told her, like, you shouldn't have ate it. My friend said you shouldn't have ate it. At the end of the day, that was on her. So there's some foods that, yeah, you're not going to be thrilled with. But for the most part, I enjoyed every single thing that I ate out there. And going to a... This is actually a sushi restaurant at Haneda Airport on the way back. There's a sushi restaurant, and there's also a burger restaurant behind it. The burger restaurant is called Pound Ya. A sushi restaurant, I can't remember the name of it, but that restaurant was the first time I ever had clam miso soup. And I have yet to find anything like it back here. And the sushi was amazing. It was fresh, very flavorful. It had what they call roe, which is basically like caviar. It was kind of spread on the outside. And this was, I guess, their equivalent of a California roll. No, it was a shrimp tempura roll. But nonetheless, you're in the country of sushi. So they know how to do it.
Right.
But that Pound Ya burger, oh, my God. Over here, you would end up spending... maybe 100 plus on the type of beef they used.
Oh, wow.
It was Wagyu beef, which is, it's very rich in flavor. It's got kind of a soft texture, but over there, the burger was like maybe, I think $10, $15. I didn't realize it, but I got one with the egg on it. But they did the egg differently because usually I would stay away from that because of the cholesterol and everything. Mm-hmm. When I bit into it, I'm like, oh, this is egg. This is egg because they had put teriyaki in that egg and fried it and everything was just
on point.
Yeah. So when I came back to America, I completely turned into a food snob. You know, people would be like, come on, Everett, let's go to McDonald's. Oh, McDonald's.
Right.
Such a peasant. Think higher. Oh, you know.
Take me the Vortex.
Right. I mean, even the Vortex would be a little bit more better than oh, God. I was like that for a whole month. I could not eat regular food. I'm over here trying to figure out what I'm going to survive on and, you know, licking the burger wrapper. You know, it just.
That's funny because some places you go, it's opposite of that. Because we went to Cancun. Mm-hmm. I could not find no good food. We stayed on a resort. And we cannot find no good food to save our life on that resort. We didn't leave the resort because we was there for a wedding. But the food was, and they had Mexican restaurants, they had Lebanese restaurants, they have, you know, different types of restaurants. But the food, it was so bad. And I ain't gonna say the resort name because, you know, everybody's different. But for my taste buds, I couldn't find no good food. So one day we went to breakfast. I said, you know what? I'm just going to have cereal and milk. And I'd be damned if this milk was not. The milk tasted like they had took some powdered milk and just put too much water in it. And I'm eating cereal and water. That's what it tasted like. I was like, I can't even eat cereal.
I had to go back old school. You know, you ain't got no milk. You just put water in it and evaporate it.
Yes.
God.
So I just went and got some fruit. And I like, you can't mess up fruit. So I ate mostly fruit. And I had the yogurt was good. But the alcohol was great. But
yeah. That's probably what you had to do. You probably had to drink the alcohol first before getting the cereal or pour the alcohol in the cereal. I don't know.
Oh, I tell you one food that was good that out of all the things on the entire resort we had to eat, the hamburgers. The burgers and fries, we ate that the whole time we was there. Because that's the best. Huh?
Where was this at again?
In Cancun.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I got a question for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
did they have any local or traditional food at that resort?
It seemed like everything was local and traditional. Okay. Because, well, you know what? I take that back. They tried to make the food from other countries, or and then they had the local stuff because there was stuff on the beach you can do local too. But they season it the way they season there. Because I've been to Mexico in other occasions. Like I went to Cozumel, but you know, that was just on a cruise. But this time we flew over and stayed on the resort. But when we did go on the cruise, we got out, we rented a Jeep and rode around the island and everything and went and got some like cuisine. Mm-hmm. And we went to the market and where they actually have the food that they sell there on the market. And we got tacos. And the tacos that we got was nothing like the tacos we got here. And the seasoning was not the same. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as flavorful as we have here. But again, we season everything. We put sodium in everything we got here. Yep. So I understand why it didn't taste the same. But it just, you know, I'm American. So I was American. I was looking for an American taste. Mm-hmm. So I can't knock them because that's what authentic Mexican food tasted like.
Right.
Now, when I was telling you about that green room.
Yeah, what about the green room?
The green room is like a, I can't explain the green room. It's like a strip club.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that definitely wasn't the greenhouse I went to.
But it's really not a strip club. It's basically prostitution in a club.
Oh, yeah, I think they kind of had that in St. Martin, too. But I don't know why my girlfriend is trying to get me. It's a brothel.
Yeah. So
I don't know why my girlfriend is trying to get me to go to the brothel. She's like, let's go to the brothel. I'm like, hang on. We in a full relationship. And you're trying to
sell me off.
To lose me. Right.
So if you ever hear somebody in Mexico say, we're going to the green room, that's where you're going. And they in there. They stripping in the front, but, you know, they taxing in the back. I was like, oh, my God. You know, it was hilarious because my cousin, you know, he was dating a Mexican chick. And they stay here in the United States. But I guess she had told him about the green room. He said, when we go there, we're going to go to the green room. And we were like, what? The green room? So we went to the green room, experienced the strippers. Not the extra activities.
Right.
But they be the thing is, they be trying to, see, you go there for the strip and they be trying to sell the other stuff.
That was, yeah. That was funny. I mean, because the goods are on display. I mean, what'd you expect? Plus, it's in a different country.
Right.
And you said his girlfriend was like, we got to go to the green room?
No. No, he was telling us we should go to the green room because, he was just, I guess he had heard about it and he wanted to have us experience it. So.
See, I was about to ask, because I'm like, why is it in every single relationship, you know, you got the girl trying to get you to go to the place where she can lose you? I just don't get that.
Sometimes I think that in a relationship, like when that happens, the female try to, has she not said it, would you have said it?
I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't even know there was one there, number one. And number two, that's not my thing. I'm there for adventure and everything.
Right. But I'm just saying, just in general, if your girl said, let's go to the green room or let's go to the brothel, would you have asked her that? No. Probably not. No. Probably not. So she probably felt like, well, most cases, a female will be like, he ain't going to ask, but I'll say it's okay. That's their way of saying, it's okay, we go here.
One didn't test, huh?
I mean, it may not have been a test. It might have been saying, let's just go there. Some females like to go to the strip club with their boyfriend, you know?
I mean, yeah, but she seemed more excited than me, and I'm like, no. Or, you know, hit him with the typical, why go to the brothel when I've got you, baby? You know, just hit him with that. I mean, I guess that's how I look at it, too, because, like, why am I going to go? My mentality whenever it comes to a relationship is the fact that it's an investment for me. I'm investing time, which is one of the most valuable things that I have to invest into this person. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to invest, like, let's say, why am I going to jeopardize $1 million investment on something that's probably worth like $2?
Right.
That's my mentality. But
are you married?
I was.
You was?
I was.
Okay. So after a certain amount of time of being married, And I'm not saying everybody should do this. I'm just saying my wife has been to the strip club with me before. We've let's go out, hang out tonight. And we went to a strip club. As a matter of fact, we went as a group with some friends, couples. It wasn't a scenario where it was like sneaking out to the strip club or it's just an uncomfortable situation. We just went out, hang out, have fun. And it was just it's different. It was just something different that we did. And it was fun, actually. Because you're not going there with no ill intent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going there thinking, okay, we're going to get one of these girls. We're going to take them home. It's not like that. We're just going, hanging out. Just like if you went to a regular club. And there's different strip clubs in Atlanta. Like, for example, Cheetahs is a really good one that, and we don't went all off the travel thing.
That was your doing, good sir. You're talking about the greenhouse.
Well, that was my experience on that.
I was travel. Talking about soup and broth, and I was talking to my soul. You're like, yeah, but the greenhouse.
But that was just my experience in Mexico. That was fun. It was actually different than Mexico. But like I said, Cheetahs here in Atlanta, if you ever went there, it was a more open environment. You can have dinner and sit down. They dance and everything, but it's not like a strip club. It's more of a upper class kind of titty bar. Well, that's what I said.
Yeah, you sound like I got to worry about booty flakes on my burgers. So.
No,
like,
you don't got to worry about it. Okay. Matter of fact, they have like some really nice gourmet food there. You'd be like, wow, who's the chef?
but the reason why I asked you if they had any local food at your resort is, and I actually had to go on an excursion to get local cuisine in Dominican Republic, but in the DR, on the excursion, we were told that every single resort was Spanish owned. Mm. So that's why you'll see like a Chinese food restaurant, hibachi, Mexican food, Italian, like almost every other cuisine except for actual local Dominican food. And that was another thing that turned me off from resorts, because if I'm in another country, I want to try that other country's food.
Right.
But because of the control or influence of one country, of another country over the place that I'm visiting, I had to pay, because I think this excursion was $100, so there's two people at a time. I had to pay $200 just to go eat some beans and rice in a local area and experience the actual food versus having you supply it there for me. And I think that's ultimately one reason why there's some resorts I can't do. Like when I was in Cancun, my girl and I stayed at the Pyramid Grand Oasis, which was an amazing resort.
Mm-hmm.
But the one in Dominican Republic, I can't even remember the name of it. The food wasn't that good, kind of like you said. The bed broke, as a matter of fact. One of the wheels came off. And it was just, it was a weird experience. And then on top of that, apparently there was a wrong side of the resort. There is a right side of the resort if you were going to leave and go to like the quote unquote actual local area. It wasn't really fleshed out like the cartoons do, you know, how like if you see a cartoon character walking down a road, they got the left side, which has got rainbows and unicorns and everything. And then the right side, which is this old crotchety forest that has bats and wolves and everything.
Yeah,
I didn't get that. I just said, let's go to the right. So we went to the right. And it's like everybody was throwing all these advertisements at us. It was almost like walking into a Brandsmart, which if you've never been in Brandsmart before, unless they changed their setup lately, is nothing but neon signs put into appliances and toasters and all sorts of stuff you don't need. But you're just going in there to try and get a TV. You walk out with a toaster, a freezer, and a dang lawnmower. That's how Brandsmart is, right? Mm-hmm. So take that mentality and apply it to the wrong side of the resort. Getting hit by all these advertisements to come to another hotel. They're trying to sell these little banana leaf hats. I mean, they're throwing any and everything at us. And then the person I was with, their kryptonite was a deal. So this dude rolls up. Come on, Dominican Walmart, real cheapy, cheapy. As soon as he said cheapy, cheapy, this girl was gone like that. And it got, and you know it's a setup, because when you got in there, this girl was grabbing all sorts of stuff to take back and distribute amongst her family. And the store owner noticed that. So then he waved at one of his little henchmen or minions or whatever. And they rolled over with, it looked like an Easter basket. I'm not lying, man. It looked like it was an Easter basket. So she put her stuff in the Easter basket and she kept grabbing more stuff. He sends over another lackey. They give her, I can't remember what it was, but it was just literally another big storage thing. And she's still grabbing stuff off the shelves. I'm trying to keep it PG because I want to. She wasn't grabbing stuff. She's anyway. she's grabbing stuff off the shelves, and finally, this dude realizes, "Oh my God, I'm going to be rich." He sends over the third minion with a little Fisher Price or a little Tykes wheelbarrow.
Oh my goodness!
The little wagon made out of the plastic that you can put your little kids in. Yeah, that's what he sent her over with. So we go to check out. This dude is like, oh, God, what did he say? Okay, let's see what you got. And this is all you heard. Because he had one of those solar power calculators, and he's just punching the buttons on it. Finally, he hits us with the price in America, and he said, that'll be $13 million American. So then she's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. How much Dominican? Because they have Dominican pesos. So, Mary de Cuatro. That'll be 500 million Dominican.
Wait, 13 million American.
American.
What the hell? She bought three Lamborghinis?
I don't know, man, because she kept grabbing shit off the counter. So that's what I'm like. And I'm watching the whole thing go down. And I know in my heart of hearts, I knew what was about to happen. Wait. And sure enough, it did. And it got even worse because the dude was acting like he is offended because she had grab some things that was the stone of the country, which is like this little blue stone. I can't remember what it was, but nonetheless, he's like, this is our country's stone, and you're not buying it for 13, however much I said, you know, millions of dollars American. That's 13. Insulting to me. Yeah, $13 million American, that's insulting to me, my country, and my people. He's getting all pissed off. And then what made it worse was the fact that this, I think it was a Mercedes, a BMW, you know, one of the big black European cars rolls up and parks next to the establishment. And I don't know why, but it felt like everybody that was there had cleared out. So it was just me, her, this dude, and then these two giant bodybuilders that got out of the car, you know, chains and everything, walking into the establishment. Then I swear this is a true story. Had this big old Rottweiler looking dog get out. You know when a dog is so swollen in the chest area, it walks with the feet on the inside? That's how this dog was walking. I mean, it's like all three of them had just got done pumping some iron.
And then the mafia.
Yeah. They came out of nowhere, and they listened to the dude getting all pissed off and everything. So I'm like, how the hell are we going to get out of this one? Finally, she says something smart. Like, we left our wallet in our hotel. We have to go back and get it. And she's backing away from the dude, bowing like she's like some servant or something. I'm like, let's get the hell out of here.
Oh my goodness.
And on the way back, you know how I said that it was almost like being hit by a bunch of ads?
Mm-hmm.
It was the same thing going back, but I had cut off everything. I had my Norton anti-SOB filter on, and I'm just like blocking every single person out. The dude that's asking us to come and eat in the hotel, I'm like, nope. I don't care if she was behind me, beside me, in front of me, whatever. I had a grip on that girl's hand, and I was just walking right back to the dang resort we came from. And as soon as we got back, we went straight to sleep.
They'll give her time to think about buying nothing.
Yeah, because there was so much drama that went on. I'm over here sitting on the bed thinking to myself, I could have lost my life over a blue stone. You know?
First of all, y'all was about to buy the store. 13 million.
Look, for the record, I had nothing in my hands, okay? I'm looking at stuff like, okay, cool, it looks nice, but, you know, got X amount of money that I'm trying to hold on to it. Meanwhile, she's over there going on like one of those, you ever see one of those little shopping store, what is it called? Competition?
Shopping TV? Sprees.
Yeah. Shopping spree, yeah, where they got to grab certain items off the shelf and put it in the basket before the time is up. Yeah, that's pretty much her attitude.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sitting back like, I ain't even signed up for this. And then these bodybuilders came out of nowhere with Scooby-Doo's cousin on steroids. And yeah, I'm glad I made it back to America.
Y'all about to buy this.
cash, check, credit. We even take Bitcoin.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to say thank you for coming on, man. We put in a lot of time. Yes. This is a really good conversation, man.
I hope I at least gave you something you can work with, man, because I know I told all these stories. But.
Oh, I got plenty to work with, man. I mean, I got stories I could tell you, but I would be here all night. But, man, I've traveled. I've done my traveling. I've been to Brazil, Cozumel, Mexico, Cayman Islands. I think Cayman is the bougie islands in the Caribbean. That's I call them the bougie Caribbeans. You know, it was fun and everything, but it's just like upscale. I'm going to say this before we get going. When I went to Jamaica and actually experienced Jamaica, it was like, I'm from South Georgia. I'm from the country. It was like being home in the country.
Wow.
And because, you know, of course it's hilly and everything. So it's just a little different from that aspect. But the people were, you know, they move about, you know, a lot of people walk, like you said, in Japan, a lot of people walk in Jamaica up and down the mountains and the hills. I mean, a lot of people walk in Jamaica and they were just friendly. And we went there for a funeral, which is different than our funerals we have here, because they had this thing they call, I forgot the name of it. It's night something, but they like everybody, you know how here, like the day before the funeral, you might have a cookout or something mm-hmm. at the family house. Well, they do that same thing there, but it's like, it's overnight and people are there all night long.
Wow.
Until the next morning. And literally like lots and lots and lots of people, and they come there to the family house and they sit all night. It's called night something, but you know, they do that. And you know, when the funeral, that we was at the funeral, like from I think the funeral might have started about 12 and we can leave to about 5.
Yeah, that's another thing about other cultures, man, because we actually had I went to an African birthday party here in Georgia, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, CPT time is already bad enough, but I don't know. This was like, I don't know what type of time this was, but the party is supposed to start at 10. Party didn't start until 12.
And you've been to a Jamaican club?
No, but I can believe it's the same.
You go to the Jamaican club after you go to the regular club, because their club don't get started until after to like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when they really get to popping.
But at least it's planned though, because like this birthday party, I'm over here dying, man. It's like already after 1 or 2 and I got to work the next day. Meanwhile, the birthday girl who was, I think she was turning 90, 91, 92. You know, in the beginning, she just kind of sitting on her little throne. Mm-hmm. So as the music started popping, she's up there dancing and everything. Meanwhile, I'm going to sleep in my couscous. So it just.
But yeah, thank you for joining. Thank you for coming on and having this conversation with me. Before I let you go, is there anything you want to tell my listeners about you, your podcast, or anything else we missed, or how to contact you, your website for your podcast, all that information?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. First and foremost, since we're still on the topic of travel, do not do yourself a disservice by staying in the same area. Even if the best you can do is traveling to another state, at least go and do that, because you got to experience your life. You only got one to live. And if you get caught up in the typical American mindset, you're only limiting what you can do as a person and your experiences as a person. So definitely travel if you can, even if you got to save up the money. Do that, and don't be like these people where they go and they do Florida and Vegas every single month, every single year, whatever. It's like, there's a lot more out there than Florida and Vegas. You got to discover who you are, because that's what travel ultimately does for us. But as far as contact information, I got my podcast listed on rss.com/podcast/, I believe it's BPP, which is short for Black Powder Podcast. I'm working on trying to get the name on my Facebook page. I don't think I have enough followers to do that right now, but eventually, with hope, I'll be able to. And once I do get it registered, it'll be underneath Black Powder Podcast as well. You can even reach me out on my email, which is also blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com. And you can stream those on multiple services, Google Podcast. I believe I'm on Amazon Music. I'm on YouTube Music. I'm also on Spotify. I'm on iHeartRadio. I mean, I'm trying to get this thing out there. And it's also a good listen, especially if you are brand new to the firearm world. You need to know how to act, think, and prepare yourself in certain situations. And if you are definitely down with trying to change the image of Black people whenever it comes to the media and how they portray us, whenever it comes to firearm incidents or just firearms in general, this is a good podcast to listen to. And my brother, I would definitely love to have you on there as well if you'd like to come over.
I'm definitely interested in coming on there, man. Just let me know the date and time, and I'm there.
Definitely. And I'll let you know the topic, too. That'll help out as well.
That's perfect. You know, I'm a gun enthusiast. So, hey, whatever you want to talk about, I'm there for it.
Cool. And I definitely appreciate you for having me on here, man. It was a blast. Love sharing stories with you and my experiences. And I know to stay away from the greenhouse now, or the green room.
The green room, yeah.
Yeah, the boom, boom green room. Yeah.
All right, Cloud. Ray and Cloud. And that is Traveling Abroad Part 2. I want to again say thank you all for listening to the show. Thank you for coming back week after week and promoting the content. And if you like, go ahead and share it. Go to the website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, and, you know, leave some feedback. Go to Apple Music, leave feedback. Whatever you can do to support the show, I really appreciate it. And I would love for you guys to go leave your feedback and comment on Apple, on all the different listeners, wherever you listen to it at. Subscribe, like, you know, everything. So thank you all again for listening. And then remember, I'm going to be giving away $100 to one guest. So make sure you're listening to the show. And again, thank you again.